change on the short term?
I think the next action on this is either an IGA with the cab or an ordinance to set up our CBD. Those are the two things that we'll come back with.
Right.
Or both. Right.
Okay. Any other discussion on this right now before we move on? All right. Resolution established on Georgia Fund 1 account for hotel motel tax. Warren?
Okay, I will be very brief. This is a holdover from your last meeting. What this is simply a investment option the city will need generally, but very specifically we'd like to put this in place to take the 2% of the hotel motel tax money and put it into an investment. The city's investment policy should be safety, liquidity, and yield. This provides all three of those. This is a rated fund. It's run by the state of Georgia and an investment
pool. Will you catch that?
Joe, are we holding down back there?
Dick, catch that door closed. Is that legal, Brian?
What we're talking about here is taking the 2% money and throwing it instead of into our concentration account for hotel motel, throwing it into Georgia Fund 1. It also sets us up so that we can use that at a later date when we're in the investing side instead of borrowing side of the business. Safe, it's got, for the times we're in, a decent yield, and the liquidity is 24 hour or less, so you're not locking up any dollars. I recommend approval.
Okay, any questions for Warren on that?
My only comment would be, I presume the funds in this account, this would be more than just the 2%. There would be other funds going in there, so we'd have to have an accountability to separate those out, or would each account have its own
set up separate accounts?
I think it's a good idea. Why should we not get the most interest? It's money that we're going to spend. Why shouldn't we have a few more bucks?
All right, any questions?
Yeah, thank you, Danny.
Okay.
Just a comment. I think we ought to get the best return we can on the 120 or whatever the dollars are. I don't think we should take any risky type investments to make that happen. It should be a very safe and secure investment.
This is a safe and secure investment.
Yeah.
99%
from what I saw.
John? Yeah, we received an email that said it was an uninsured investment pool. Do you remember?
Yes, it's a AAA rated. Investment pool. And you can see on the flip side, going back to 2005, it's the state of Georgia Office of Treasury. It's something that most communities use. Certainly fits our need for safety, liquidity, and yield.
Yes, you had to comment about AAA ratings. Don't have any submission on that either. I invested in AIG last year.
Any questions for Warren on that? All right, thanks, Warren. Any discussion? So that one,
not sure. It's a money market.
All right. Moving on, I have no idea what this is, but discussion on schools.
I'll lead off on that, then I'll pass to Adrian. But I think the whole idea here is that when we ran for the city, schools were a subject that always came up, and we informed everybody that, the Jeff County School Board is a separate entity, but that now, instead of individuals or a group going together and going down there, we would have what we call the City of Dunwoody with an idea of what we would like to have done in the schools and at least have a suggestion. We do not have a vote, but we would have a voice. And that's one of the things we pushed at all the meetings that we went to, and it was very well received. Paige is sitting right here. I know she's involved in a lot of this, and Adrian, but my idea is that, What do we do and how do we do this? How do we have a voice at the DeKalb County School Board? And what does our voice want to say? You know, I see the projections, I know what the, you know, the big complaints are in the schools, but there's two things that the school should provide for us. Number one, most importantly, the education of our children, because without that, folks, there's no future in this country. Number two would be the property values that we all enjoy here. And have no doubt whatsoever, your property values are tied to your schools. So, and that's secondary to the number one, I understand that. Those are the two big issues that you're looking at here. And those are issues that we should face, and exactly how we should face, you know, we should be sitting down and coming up with a, you know, a effort from all of us that we could all agree upon that we would go forth with. You know, what do we want? Well, I can tell you one of the big things we want. Go out and talk to any of the parents is get rid of the trailers in the schools. And how do we go about that, you know? I think we need to have some town hall meetings. I think we need to have some public hearings and hear the input from the city. Paige is a member of a group. They have a group already in place, so you don't have to reinvent the wheel totally here. But I think if we as a city council, with inputs from all the citizens, we need to come up with a standard statement of what we would like to go forth with our school system here. And not just be a Johnny come lately, you know, it was all voted on yesterday. I'm sorry you're a day late. And with that, I'll hand it over to Adrian.
You don't need to hand it over. You're the one who wanted to talk about the schools, but it would be helpful to at least have a committee from the city council, an organized committee, and maybe consider a task force where we work together with the parents, and just so that you don't have one group over here working on one thing and another group over here working on another thing, because I keep hearing, you know, for example, I've been meeting with the different principals, and they all have concerns about traffic flow around their school, and they'd like a traffic engineer to review it. I don't know if Richard's still here, but and they made multiple, you know, different requests. We just need more coordination with the parents and the city council, and then the school board. The school board members of the CAT are great. They work great with us, and maybe they can help us with presenting problems to the whole school board. You know, the school board is a whole large thing. Our member, Jim has already left. He's left the building. That's lazy. But anyway, it was just a suggestion that we either, you know, form a committee with the city council and consider also a task force or some kind of committee with the parents.
Okay, Danny. Back late last year, Dan asked me to join up with a representative from DHA to meet with the school executives related to the new 4-5 Academy, as it's been called. To talk about some of the architectural designs of it and some of the interior designs of it, where it could be helpful, as well as some of the outdoor classrooms and the strategy behind that. And this past week, we had our fourth meeting with that group, Pat Pope, and we went through, and I think we had a very constructive meeting in that regard. One thing we still have outstanding that Dr. Lewis did commit to us at the DHA meeting back in the second weekend of January was the fact that we were going to get real brick on the exterior of the building and not a brick facade on the outside of the building. I'm sorry, not brick, real stone on the outside, not a stone facade. And that matter needs to be corrected because Ms. Pope is still not going down that line. I do think that something positive came out of that. She asked us to come up with a landscape design, which I think is good. And this landscape design will be a very robust landscape design. And she has asked us to give our input on that. And we've contracted with a local landscape architect to provide us such a design consultation. And I'm requesting Dunwich Preservation Trust as part of their mission to pay for that design as a part of our mission to save green space and much like we did with the trees during the tornado.
Okay. Thanks, David. So getting back to the committee, I don't know about during our work session, I think we had Penny, Fee, and Adrian, does that sound right, that was interested? Is there, in the school, she's with Adrian's, I believe, was heading it up. Is there anybody else on this council that wants to be part of that? Going once, going twice? All right, so it sounds like moving forward, maybe just a coordinated effort. And Paige, can I call on you now that you've hung with us so long?
Sure.
As a expert witness, let me just ask you, on just from your side, as Adrian has talked about, and Danny has talked about, and Danny's talked about, we've got so many tentacles, obviously, from the school perspective. A lot of the tentacles, none of them that have been brought up tonight, but a lot of the tentacles, having two kids in the midst of it, are very political hot buttons. It depends on when you move from district one to district two, you'll get two complete answers from two families on the same question, right? So there's never one easy answer for some of the items. Again, none of it that we brought up tonight, but some of the larger issues. So I guess I'd just ask you real quickly, what do you have any words of wisdom for us in what we're doing or what we're not doing or what would be helpful? Or
I think what you've been doing so far has worked very well, immersing yourself into the current issues that are going on. I don't think that what each person is doing is confusing or stretching you out in all different directions. Adrian came to our cluster council meeting recently, which is the 21 parent leaders in our cluster. So I think if we find a way through the parent cluster council to communicate issues, have the door open for the city of Dunwoody to participate in that conversation. It's also a conversation that the school board is involved with as well, so we know what everybody's up to and what we're thinking about. If we use that as an avenue, and also have Adrian, if you're going to be the one who speaks for the council, if you could find a way to develop a relationship with our school board members. You know, we got Pam and Jim that directly represent us, but as we well know, our school board members represent, all of them represent us. So, and I can assist with that if you want to.
I just had lunch with Pam today, and yeah.
I think so far, so good. Y'all got so much on your plate. No one's going to let the school issue die, and I appreciate information tonight, but if we just continue in the path that we're going, I think it will come up with a really good relationship. And Jim is very gung-ho to communicate. We just talked a few moments ago about, you know, when we're doing design and all of that, how much does the city need to be involved in the conversation and the design process? And so I think the school board members maybe need to be clarified a little bit what the city's position is and how much power or non-power that we've got over school decisions. So if they could be made more aware of the city's position, I think that would be very helpful. So, and I think so far so good. And is that what you needed to hear from me?
Great. Perfect. Thank you.
One other point of information, when we met Pat Pope, she gave us the numbers on how many traders are going to be left behind at Vanderbilt and Austin schools. Vanderbilt schools should have no traders, and in case of, Austin schools should have no traders, and in case of Vanderbilt school, they expected to be somewhere between 4 and 6 traders, I think.
Not according to.
That's what Matt Pope said. I'm not.
Normal Luke said that he's expecting to lose probably 3 trailers, and that's all.
So that
to get rid of the 3 back trailers first, and then to free up some space for parking.
Restroom facilities. That's
going to. Yeah, those are going to still be there. Those are the ones that are, there are 3 trailers scattered and the first one just got.
So is that something that cluster that's currently together, the parent part, is that something that trickles down? Is that something that y'all talk about?
Yes, we do.
All right. Yes, sir. I suspect there's probably nothing that's going on within our area of school that doesn't get tackled by that bus, or are there issues that don't?
With the removal of the trailers?
Or just...
With the discussion of that?
I mean, is there anything that's kind of off?
Off that you can't touch?
Yeah, that you can't touch.
Redistricting.
Okay.
And so what this city council could do, because that is our big issue, because we have underutilized schools, if we could focus on the high school and we could get the support of city council supporting the high school, then all of our feeder schools will be equally qualified to. No matter where you live in Dunwoody, so it's a win-win. If we could redirect some focus, that would be very, very helpful. But as for the trailer stuff and all of that, I think once you have a trailer on the property, it's hard to move it, no matter what's going on. So, but I think we need some more accurate numbers on how many trailers are going to be leaving, and I can put that together.
Is there any other discussion at all? Yeah, I'm sorry, John.
Paige, you helped with the Safe Route to Schools program, and I know you were working through the cluster, talking to the principals, getting a needs assessment as far as what the schools needed. I'm hoping that the cluster comes back at some point to tell us and tell the city the needs assessment that the local schools need so that we can help you do your job better.
We're working on the 4-5. That was our most immediate. We worked with Richard. The other schools have been slow to come up with their plan. I know that you're looking for that, but we've discussed it in the last meeting. So if you'll give me a timeline, maybe you would like that. Make sure we get it. One thing we need immediately is assistance at our four-way stop in the mornings on Womack and Vernon. It's critical. So if we could get the city's help on that, it would be fabulous.
All right, thank you.
I've already asked for crosswalk signs to be placed. And the chief and I talked some, about whether we'll have enough kids to cover that. It's going to be especially a problem. I'm especially concerned about the 4th and 5th grade. I hate to call it academy, the elementary school. Because I guess Richard's left. But he has indicated that he believes that there's probably going to need to be a traffic signal at the 4th and 5th grade elementary school, that he can't place it until there's a traffic pattern. And so that means the school has to open, the traffic pattern has to be observed to justify putting a traffic signal there. So I'm sure we're going to need to have a police officer at least for the first week, or at least till we get an idea of the snarls we're going to have with the traffic there, because we're not going to have the traffic light, the traffic signal, until we can justify it. That's something that we're going to have to talk about, come fall.
Okay. Any other discussion on that?
Just a quick comment. Let's talk about the number one issue that parents, get uptight about, that I talk to anyway, and that's the trailers. And not only, are they unsightly, people don't like them. If you've got a one-room trailer, you have to go inside, go to the bathroom, which means you're off the main, come back. And then the other thing, the trailers take up the playground. So there's no playground for kids. I mean, mercy sakes, I'm from the hills of Missouri, and we had a little better than this. So I think that's something we need to look at down the road. And, as far as the police are concerned, I hope that we can generate, the local traffic crossing person to control that. And we won't, we need to, when we start out, we use the police to... we only have so many police to spread around.
All right, any other comment on this? We'll move on. All right, Tom?
Actually, these are Danny's
items. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to pass them to Tom real quickly. But I just want to correct number 14. I should have caught this earlier. That's HB 516.
HB.
It's HB.
HB.
It's HB.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that earlier. Yeah. Everything. But Tom has not followed these for us, and I do have both of them here. Yeah. I pulled them down off of the web, and they're very interesting reading, to say the least. But Tom,
I'll be real quick about these. SB 164, which is a
transportation bill, which deals with billboards and presentations on signs. And what it boils down to, the essence of the bill is it allows the owners of that advertising venue, be it a billboard or a sign or whatever, to apply for permits to clear-cut trees and everything like that on a highway venue to allow visibility of the sign from the from the highway. That's passed out of the Senate 41-7. I can say that Senator Weber voted against that. He was one of the seven people who voted against it. It has passed House first and second readers. One of the sponsors is Tommy Williams in the Senate, who is the majority leader. This is likely to pass. It's assigned to the House Transportation Committee. That'll probably be heard this week. So if you're interested in holding up 164, I will email the council all the sponsors of this bill. There are six. Don Balfour, who's Senate Rules Chairman, this has got a lot of heavy-duty support behind it, so it's unlikely that we're going to be able to stop it in the House. But if you want to call people in the House Transportation Committee, I'll give you the
contact. The point you might want to contact the governor on, because it probably will pass out of the House.
It probably will pass out of the House. That's a good point. And you know, ask the governor to veto it at some point if we have a big objection.
Okay.
We may want to, at some point, entertain, and I haven't even thought of this before, but entertain a resolution, you know, from the council asking the governor to veto that. So that's 164. 516 is basically industrialized buildings. It's a commercial building. It deals with local ordinances. This is a House bill that actually lost at first. It lost 85-72. There must have been some wheeling deal that went on because they reconsidered that and it came back and passed 158-5. I'm not tracking this very carefully, but you know, if you can turn stuff like that around, there's some horse trading that went on in the back room.
Who's their lobbyist?
This has been assigned to the Senate. It's Agriculture and Commercial Affairs Committee. Some of the sponsors of this are Wendell Willard from Sandy Springs, John Burns, Barbara Sims, Terry England from Lamar County. Again, what this does is allows prefab buildings, essentially. If you have a lot, it allows you statewide to put a prefab building on that, whether it be a house or a structure, whatever that's zoned for. But it allows you to put modular housing or mobile homes up with that. So, again,
Wendell was the first.
He's a sponsor number four.
Okay, questions about either of these?
I'll put the information out, the contact information out for anybody who wants it. Just please feel free to email. Right. The other thing I want to mention is our bill, just again briefly, but again, this thing is going to go before committee this week in the House. It's going to actually be assigned to a subcommittee, then a committee, but those two hearings will probably take place the same day. Something to keep in mind when we negotiate with DeKalb tomorrow, if this bill does not come out of committee, is that we have consulted with a bond attorney and have prepared over the weekend, Brian, myself, Senator Weber, and our lobbyists prepared a committee sub with some language changes, just legal language changes, based on our folks from Troutman Sanders, the bond folks there. And the way this will come out of committee, if it comes out as a whole thing, will not only turn up the parks and the properties, but also the bonds proceeds for all of that. And just to give you an idea of the number, the dollars we're talking about here, we're talking about 2001-2006 bond referendums. Totally, it was about $230 million. If you extrapolate our tax digest out of that at 12%, that's about $27.6 million, of which they spent about $7 million, which leaves about $20 million on the table that we stand to get if this bill passes.
Wow. You know,
I saw, I'm not going to discuss in detail the last offer from DeKalb, but I can tell you it's highway robbery, and I'm urging you to call our folks and ask them to pass this bill.
Okay, any other comments on 164, 516, or...
I just got a quick comment for all of you. If you haven't read it, it's, you know, it's not exciting reading. I just read just the ones for the State Highway Billboard.
Yeah.
You know, no removal of any hardwood tree having a diameter or the outside bark of more than 8 inches at the height of 6 inches above the ground, or any historic endangered specimen trees that can be removed. You realize that a tree this big around, any tree this big around, a hardwood tree,
and it's 250 feet horizontal, the viewing zone. 250 feet horizontal. I come from a farm. I like green stuff, but I know I'm not quite as green as some of the folks here on the console. But, you know, that just seems like unbelievable to me that they would do something like that. Establishing hydrant signs, you know, at 75 feet above the ground. It's got a lot of portion. As Tom says, there's some people behind it. This other one, by the way, 516, when they talk about prefab, if you go back over here to the one page where it says, it talks about manufactured home means a structure transportable in one or more sections. What does one tell you?
It's a single wide. It's a single wide. Not even a double
wide. Which in a traveling mode is 8 feet or more in width, 40 feet length, and all this other good stuff. So that allows them to put that on any lot, anywhere in the state, the best I can read this.
All right, any other questions on this?
I'll just have a comment. The GMA is pushing both of these to people to vote against them, but that's...
I would really encourage somehow we get the word out to all of our citizens to get a hold of their representatives and also the top representatives in the House and the Senate.
All right, any other comments on this? All right, we're going to move to public comment, Brian.
Want me to go first, Brian? Yeah, thank you, council members. I'll finish up my comments earlier. This is this week's Planet Business Chronicle. I think the headline says it all as far as how the hoteliers are feeling. I think it's great that we're considering allowing an ECBB to work with them. The point I want to make was Alpharetta as a good example of a visitors bureau that really works well. It's got a 12-member board, five of whom are from the city, two are elected officials, one's the mayor and a council member, three of them are employees of the city, if you look at their board set up. And I also point out in terms of our experience here at the PCID, back in 96 I was involved in its formation as a commissioner board's representative. And one of the questions I came up with, should it be a government entity or not? I mean, should we do this kind of thing without a private sector to decide how these public dollars that are generated get spent? And they concluded yes. And, you know, thankfully they did. When you think about how the PCID works today, ask yourself the question, how would it have worked had we not let it be the private sector that spent those dollars? And I think that's a key question that we're talking about here, because the private sector has it in its vested interest to do the best it can with that 2%, because it grows the entire amount of money that it receives year in and year out, which benefits us. Remember, their good investment with the 2% grows a total 5%, of which we take 3% off the top. And that's important to me when you consider the governance structures. And as the councilman said, that really is a fundamental question, isn't it? And that is, who's the customer? Well, I know that when the customer is the hotels, that I can predict for you exactly what their interest is going to be, and that is to put heads in beds, and that is the source of revenue for us. The 3% that we get comes out of that. Never forget that, because if we focus too far away from that, you're going to get into what other cities have done, and that is perhaps not use the money in the best way for the community as a whole in terms of revenue that's generated. And I will say this, that's probably why 75% or more of the CVBs in Georgia are the 501c6s. And that's a key point I want to make with respect to that. And let me just note that with respect to the PCVB, it can do more. We know that. And I think perhaps one of the things it can do right now that it hasn't been doing is develop a convention and visitors bureau guide for us now as part of that process. And I think it has the resources and ability to do that, working with a lot of good partners. On the school comment that you guys were dealing with, I visited the intersection going into the new school. I've met with Tom Lambert. I will say this as a highway safety person. That intersection has significant problems from which not just the traffic light will pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Dallas. Lindsay.
Balou.
Balou. It's Balou at 10:30.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, just a couple quick things. One thing I wanted to add to the discussion on the CVB and why the weekend travel is so important, because that's really what we're talking about here. The DeKalb Convention Visitors Bureaus has been putting the heads in beds on the weekend for it. When it comes to weekend travel, the expenditures that the people make for the hotel room
That's the number third thing that they spend money on. Number one is retail, perimeter mall, and number two is restaurants and other other related, like Cafe Intermezzo and other places. So it's not just the hotel rooms that we're looking, what we're talking about. We're talking about all the other revenue that's going to come into the city based on that. And again, what'll be hurting 2 months from now if we don't do something today. And the other thing is, I occasionally show up at the Ivy League, the cruise night over at Dunwoody Village. I showed up this past week, and there were a bunch of great cars there, a couple of Oldsmobiles, one great yellow 67 Delmont 88 that you can often see in my driveway. But the one car that most people were really happy to see was had flashing lights all over, and it was the Dunwoody police car. People were driving past and turning around to come back in to take a look at it. And the gentleman, one of our new sergeants, was there. He was really great, posing for pictures with a lot of the people. And like I said, I've gone to many nights there, but that car had the most attention. And it even got a little bit of use. Somebody pulled up and talked to the sergeant, was pointing that there was some sort of commotion going on, and he went out there, lights are flashing. Once you see this car with the lights flashing, it gets your attention. So I'm sure whatever was going on ended.
All right, thank you.
Wait till you hear the bumper.
All right, Joe DeVita.
One thing I heard tonight that I am supportive of is certainly having some public discussion on this. Hopefully we can get someone like Mike Bush. He's with the Department of Community Affairs, and he does presentations on this very kind of thing to help us. And I suggest we get as many professionals and experts that we can to help us make our CBB the best we can. What this also does is give us a little bit of time to answer many more questions we have. And with the Campbell County organization, I want to make sure that people understand one thing. This is a group that does very well at what they do. We've visited them several times. I do have some criticisms, but one thing that they do well is they do know how to count those heads and beds, and they do have a program of weddings and anniversaries that everyone copies. They're the leader in the industry. My criticism of this group, though, is that one thing you can't find in the DeKalb County Convention and Visitors Bureau is a single convention. One of the things we might be able to do here is work with this group, and as we ask them to give us a level of service that we demand, we can also ask them to go that extra mile and initiate some programs for business meetings up here. We have a lot of business meeting space that is not maximized. And I think they may be open to this. They may be open to suggestions of working with us and improving the program that we have. So one other correction I'd like to make there tonight is that about oversight in different kinds of organizations. The difference what we're looking at, I think Robert Wittenstein explained it well. It's more of who's the customer and who controls that, the voice of the customer. It's not about oversight. Oversight is provided for us by the state, by guidelines that we all have to follow. So for example, if you contracted with a Chamber of Commerce, if the Chamber of Commerce received public funds, it's subject to auditing. Which is, for example, why we would recommend a third-party entity of the Dunwoody Convention and Visitors Bureau, no matter what shape that takes, to deal directly with the city. With that said, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff.
All right, executive session. I don't think there's no reason for it, so I'm going to make a motion to adjourn. Back to Christina. All right. Discussion on favor.
Aye. Aye.